Well, thank you for joining as we continue our study in the book of Judges. We're in sermon number 18 out of the series I've entitled When a Nation Turns Their Back on God. Last week we looked at Judges chapter 16 when we looked at the end of Samson's life, and we looked at that glorious message of when bondage to sin gives way to victory over sin, as we saw God's grace to Samson to allow him to fulfill the purposes for which he was created and for which he was designed. Today we're going to look at chapter 17 and chapter 18, two long passages. I'm not going to read them for us, as you look at two stories from everyday life in the time of the judges. But before I tell you about the stories, let's commit this time to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for meeting with us again. We thank you for your word, for the truth contained in it, even as we try and learn, Lord, out of the examples you set before us, Lord. Give us wisdom and insight into knowing how we can learn from these examples and not repeat the same mistakes in the world in which we live. We commit ourselves to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, chapter 17 and chapter 18 of the book of Judges got two little stories. Chapter 17 is the story about a man named Micah. Micah had stolen some money from his mother, and when she laid a curse against him, or against the person who stole it, he admitted that he had stolen it. And so he returns it to her, and once he's returned it to her, she's happy, and she gives him some of the money. She promises actually all the money to the Lord, but she only gives him a little bit to make two idols, which Micah builds a little shrine in his house, and he hires, first of all, one of his own children, and then later on he hires a young Levite from Bethlehem to be the priest in his home. And then we get to chapter 18. In chapter 18, we have the story of the tribe of Dan. Dan was the last tribe to settle in the country that God had promised them. At this point in time, they hadn't defeated that part of the promised land, and the tribe of Dan were looking for a place to live because they hadn't been settled yet. And in chapter 18, we have the story of some of the people from Dan, some of the men from Dan, going to the house of this chap called Micah and forcing this young Levite priest to go with them, to be there, to be their priest. And off he goes to be with them. And they say to him, isn't it better to be the priest of a tribe rather than just one person? Then they go off to defeat the land around the Mount Hermon, which is in the northern parts of Israel, just below Lebanon, and eventually they defeat them and they live there. And we have the story of this kind of violent encounter of their defeat, and the way they take this young priest from the house of Micah. And when Micah confronts them and tries to say, hey, you can't do this, they just say, well, too bad for you. We're taking him, and if you want to do something about it, come and see if you can do something about it. In the end, he realizes he's not strong enough to do something about it. Two very, very sad incidents. Well, first of all, we don't need to look very far and beyond the borders of our own country to realize that to a large degree, society has again rejected the ways of God, particularly the truths revealed in what we as Christians know as the Bible. There are many signs that this has happened. The rise of private morality. People talking about my truth, I will talk about it a bit later on. The justification and promotion of sinful behavior. This last week we were listening to a report in the radio about scientists who have developed an injection you can now take. The injection, you get given the injection once every 2 months, and it prevents you from catching AIDS. At the moment, you can take a pill. You take a pill on a daily basis, and it can prevent you from catching AIDS. But they've now developed an injection. Now, that sounds very great. But, you know, what about just telling people to stop having immoral sex? No, let's not do that. We'd rather have an injection. Again, friends, the massive increase in crime. Every day this week, there's been reports of a mass killing somewhere or another relating to drugs or to taxis. What's the issue? It's just greed. And what I've called the flagrant disregard for the basic laws of society. Friends, we're just going to look at the way people drive. I just, driving has been a frustration for me for a long time, but it just seems to be getting worse. People don't bother at all even to obey even the simplest of rules in which we have. We're going to live in a very difficult society. So I've entitled this message, The Signs of a Society Without God. Well, I've got five signs I want to talk about today. Remember, our series is about a nation that has rejected God. And these are the signs. The first sign of a society without God is that the standard for truth is moved from God to man. Right throughout this book of Judges, chapter 3 and verse 7, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord. Chapter 3 and verse 12, again the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Chapter 4 and verse 1, the Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Chapter 6 and verse 1, again the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Chapter 10 and verse 13, again the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Chapter 13, again the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now we get to chapter 17 and verse 6. And here is the key, friends. In those days, it says, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he sought fit. Friends, that's the world in which we're living in. As I mentioned a little bit earlier on, I spoke about the fact that there's this massive rise in private morality. People talk about my truth. This is my truth. You don't have to accept my truth. There is no longer anything called the truth. It is my truth. And that was the issue in the days of the judges. The days of the judges, it says simply, everyone did as he saw fit. Friend, where has the absolute standard gone? The sad reality is that is the beginning of the failure of Israel, where the standard of God had disappeared. But you see, when you take God out of the picture, friends, you've got to fill the void with something else. And the sad example, reality is we have an example of that. Because you see, that's exactly what Satan wanted to do. Satan wanted to take the place of God. And what was Satan's sin? Satan's sin was pride, friends. And so the first sign is very clearly when the standard of truth is moved from God to man. And we're living in a time of growing pride. It's all about me, 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 me. People don't worry about others. As long as they can get their own way, as long as they can do their own thing, it's all about me. Sign number one. Sign number two. Second sign of a society without God is the fabric of society, the family, is corrupted. So we read in the first two verses of chapter 17, it says this: "Now a man named Micah from the hill country of Ephraim said to his mother, 'The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you, and about which I heard you utter a curse, I have them. I took them.' Then his mother says, 'The Lord bless you, my son.'" Isn't it interesting? In the story, the man admits to his mother that he stole her money. But notice, he only did this after she had uttered a curse against the person who had stolen the money. Well, you may say, well, this is not such a big issue, until you realize how much money he stole. Tells us he stole 1,100 shekels, 1,100 shekels. How much is that? Well, friends, it's equal to 110 years of salary. How do we know that? Because in verse 10 of this passage, it says, Micah invites a little priest to come and he says, "Live with me and be my father and priest, and I'll give you 10 shekels of silver a year." The priest was earning 10 shekels of silver. So if he sold 1,100, that's 110 years of salary. Friends, the fabric of society is corrupted when children start stealing from their parents. Last week, we discovered two boys that were smoking some dacha or marijuana at our school. So when we called the family in, I always warn the family and I say to them, you know, one of the problems with kids who steal drugs is that they very often steal from their own families. Friends, why do you think we got so many young boys walking around the streets of our town? It's simply this, friends. Their families have chased them away. They're tired of their own children stealing from them. That's where the problem is. How many young boys are walking the streets of our towns because they're stealing from their families? Because, friends, the family has been corrupted. Sign number three. The third sign of a family without God is vows that are not kept. Look what verse 3 says. When he returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to her, she said, "I solemnly consecrate my silver to the Lord. For my son to make a carved image and a cast idol, I will give it back to you." Interesting. She made a promise. She was going to give 1,100 shekels to the Lord. But what does she give? So he returned, the verse 4 says, he returned the silver to the mother, and she took 200 shekels of silver and gave it to a silversmith, who made them an image and an idol, and they were put in Micah's house. Friends, she promised to give to the Lord. In biblical terminology, it's called korban. The stuff became korban. It belonged to the Lord the minute she made the promise. But now she keeps it. How are vows broken in our day? Marriage vows. Marriage vows, friends, just seem to be a joke. If people even bother to get married. Business contracts. People promise to do things, but don't do it. Well, what about political promises? Because that's all they are, let's face reality. They're just promises. They very seldom come to fruition. But sadly, friends, let's not even mention spiritual commitment. The church, friends, society is full of people who have made a spiritual commitment in some sort or a way. Many who kind of claim to be Christian, many who portray themselves as Christian, but the reality is the vows are not kept, promises are not kept. The fourth society, friends of a society without God, is religious syncretism becomes the order of the day. What do I mean by syncretism? I mean when we combine different religions. We read about the combination of idol worship and faith in God. In verse 4, it says, he returned the silver to his mother, and she took 200 silver and gave it to her silversmith, and he made an image and an idol, and they put them in Micah's house. Now the man Micah had a shrine. He made an ephod and some idols. What's the ephod? Let me remind you, the ephod, friends, is the garment that the priest wore, that garment in front here that he used as he came into the presence of God. And so he's making the garment that would be used to worship God, but then he makes an idol at the same time. The world is full of syncretism. People taking religion from little bits of religion from all over the place. Christians who's got images and little statues of Buddha in their home. Friends, there's something wrong. Sadly, one of the greatest sins in the eyes of the world today is to hurt somebody's feelings. So many are offended when you preach from the word about their sinful behavior. Because we're living in syncretism, the world of syncretism. The Bible is no longer the absolute truth in the world we're living in, friends. Listen to what the word of God has to say. John 15 verse 9 says, if you belong to the world, it would love you. As it is, you don't belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Don't be surprised, friends, if you're doing that which the world doesn't like. 1 John 4 verse 5 says, they are of the world, and they speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. Romans 12 reminds us, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is the true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good and pleasing and perfect will. And 1 John chapter 2 reminds us, says, do not love this world or the things it offers. For when you love the world, you do not love the Father. The love of the Father is not in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, the pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but from the world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Friends, we're living in a time of syncretism. We can't mix the world and spirituality at the same time. Number 5, the fifth sign of a society without God is compromised spiritual leaders. Oh, are we living in a day like that? Listen to how leaders are compromised. In the day of the judges, first of all, they are untrained leaders. Verse 5 tells us the man Micah made a shrine, and he made an ephod and some idols, and then he just makes one of his sons a priest. A little bit later on, we read about greedy leaders. There's a young Levite from the tribe of Benjamin moving around. When he comes to the house of Micah, Micah says to him, what are you doing? He says, I'm looking for a place to stay. Then Micah says to him, live with me, be my father and priest, and I'll give you money and clothes and food. So the Levite lived with him, The Micah installed the Levite, and the young man became his priest and lived in his house. Greedy leaders, friends. The young man was interested only in money and clothes and food. Just what Jesus had told us not to run after. John had told us not to run after in 1 John. Then there's power-hungry leaders. In the next chapter, in chapter 18, when we have the story of when the tribe of Dan is going to attack the land which the Lord had given to them, they come to the house of Micah. They pass through the area where Micah lived, and they go to the priest in verse 19 of chapter 18. They asked him, "Be quiet. Don't say a word. Come with us. Be our father and priest. Isn't it better that you serve a tribe and clan in Israel as priest rather than just one man?" And the priest was glad, and he took the ephod and the other household gods and the carved image and went along with the people. Power-hungry leader, friends. He even steals to maintain his position. Friends, it's a sign of a society without God. Compromised spiritual leaders. But friends, the world we live in is no different, and Jesus predicted this long ago. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus is talking to his disciples about the time to come. The disciples say to him, "Teacher, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they'll take place?" Jesus replied, "Watch out that you're not deceived. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Don't follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, don't be frightened. These things will happen, but the end will not come right away." Then he said, "Nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be great earthquakes, famines and pestilence, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before these things, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They'll deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and that they brought you before governors and kings, all on account of me. And this is the result of being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourself, for I'll give you the words and the wisdom, and you need none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You'll be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, friends. They'll be put to death. All men will hate you because of me. Not a hair on your head will perish. You will stand firm, but standing firm, you will gain life. They will see Jerusalem being surrounded by army. Then you will know that the desolation is near. And those who live in Judea live in the mountains." Friends, this sounds like the days in which we're living in. But it sounds no different from the days of the judges, friends. Families turning against each other. Leaders that seeking to mislead others. Friends, the sign of a society without God is so clear. So what's the answer? Well, in the passage we read, the last verse in chapter 18 says this: they continued to use the idols Micah had made. Yet all the time, the house of God was in Shiloh. Friends, it's not that God has moved. At the time of the judges, God was in their midst. God had established himself at Shiloh at this point in time. This was before Jerusalem became the center of the worship in the nation of Israel. At this point in time, the center of worship was at Shiloh. God was still in their midst, friends. God didn't move. It's the people who were moved. And when Jesus speaks about the end times, this is what Jesus has to say: heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Friends, regardless of the time we're living in, Like in the time of the judges, God was there in the midst of them. Like in the days we're living in, friends, don't fear. Heaven and earth will pass away, but Jesus says, my word will never pass away. Friends, we have a solid truth. We have a truth that we can rest and trust in. When the world seeks compromise, let us stick to the truth of the word. Friend, whatever we're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever the society looks like amongst which we're living in, friends, we have the word of God as the cornerstone of the building we're building. We preach and live God's word, which is none other than Christ himself. He is our center. He is the one in whom we trust. He is the one in whom we put our faith. Don't worry about the world, friends. Jesus is alive. Jesus never fails. He's with us, and his word is with us every step of the way. Lord bless you. Lord, as we go into the rest of this week, we thank you for your word. Help us to search your word so that we may know your truth, and that in knowing your truth, Lord, we may live according to the standard you have set for us and not be caught up in the world in which we find ourselves. Thank you that we're no longer citizens of this world, but we're citizens of heaven, and we give you all the praise for that. Keep us strong, we Lord, we pray for your glory. Amen. Lord bless you, friends. Amen.